She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is off today. Here on the show, in addition to talking about chemicals and eating clean and all that good stuff, we like to talk about emotional health and mental health as well. So I'm beyond thrilled to have Lisa Long on the program. She's an author, educator, and mother of four children. She's based in Boise, Idaho, and she has written a wonderful book, The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. She joins us now. Hi, Liza.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
It's so great to have you. You know, the first time I heard about you was when your essay, I Am Adam Lanza's Mother, went viral. And since then, you have been on, I think, every national news show, and it's such a thrill to have you here. Why don't you take us back to that time and then tell us about your son and what you all have been through?
Sure. Well, that day that I wrote the essay, I Am Adam Lanza's Mother, was actually the day of one of America's most horrific tragedies, the school shootings at Newtown, Connecticut. And when I heard about those shootings, my first thought was, what if that's my son someday? That day, my arms were covered in bruises and bite marks, and my son was in an acute care psychiatric hospital. And we'd been trying for almost 10 years at that point to get help for him. He was clearly suffering from some kind of mental illness, but we had gone through diagnosis roulette. We had tried medications. Nothing had worked for him. And so that day, I just shared my helplessness with the world. I really thought I was the only mom in America who felt that way, but it turned out a lot of people were experiencing what I was. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, we shouldn't have to suffer in shame and silence when our children have mental illness. We would never do that to a parent of a child who had any physical illness. So why do we do that to parents of children with mental illness?
It's so true. And I understand, too, that when you originally wrote the article, you didn't put your name. But wasn't there somebody who said, you know, I'm happy to publish this, but you need to put your name on it? What was that like for you to be so open and vulnerable?
Well, I think you can't expect, actually, what's going to happen. I mean, you know, no one can really predict when something will go viral. But yeah, that was a really tough conversation with a good friend. I still continue to write for Boise State University's online journal, The Blue Review, and the editor is a good friend of mine, one of the few people who knew about my anonymous blog, and one of the few people who knew my son and, you know, played chess with him several times. And so he knew my family's story. We weren't even really out in the community. So my biggest concern when he asked me to put my name on it was, gosh, what are my friends going to think? You know, what's my church group going to think when they find out that this is a struggle my family's dealing with? I was really worried just about my own community, not about what people, you know, in New York City or whatever would think about it. But Nate said something that really changed my views. He said, until people are willing to put their names on these stories, it's not real. And I thought about that, and I said, let's do it. Let's put my name on the story. And I do have a different last name than my children, and I used a pseudonym for my son. I feel like his story is his own, not mine. But I do feel that parents' voices are important.
Oh, gosh, I think so, too. And I think one of the things that you brought up, there's so many things, it's so important, is the way we look at mental illnesses versus physical ailments and illnesses. And the stigma is what's really hurting us, because, again, more and more people are going to keep it to themselves. And there's a shame that really is just, it's ridiculous. And I'm not saying people who feel ashamed are ridiculous people, but I'm saying that the fact that we're meant to feel that way, right?
Right. And, you know, that's the big challenge. We talk about the word stigma a lot. We hear that word a lot. But really what we're talking about is discrimination. So people are afraid to tell their employers, for example, right, because they may be discriminated against in the workplace. People are afraid to tell their friends and neighbors. I just met with someone this morning from a church group who said, what could we do to help people with mental health? And I said one word, casseroles. She just looked at me and I said, your mental illness is not a casserole disease. When your child's in the psychiatric hospital, people don't bring casseroles over. It's not something you can talk about at the water cooler. And I really do feel that just something simple like taking someone a casserole, treating that family the same way you would with a physical illness, could make all the difference.
Oh, that does. That's so, I swear, you're so eloquent. I love listening to you. And I think that makes, like, yeah, you're right. Because if someone has cancer or they just got diagnosed with diabetes or whatever it is, if people are like, oh, what can we do? And this isn't so many people feel isolated and alone. And then that right. makes their problems even more difficult. And speaking of that, I'm curious, how old was your son when he got the bipolar 1 diagnosis?
He was 2013. So he was 14 years old. Yeah. Wow. So he was 14.
That seems like a long time to me. You must have gone through, I know, but we've spoken, but I know you went through a lot. There was the autism diagnosis or ADHD or other things. But didn't you right. tell me that one of the caregivers, or not caregivers, one of the people you worked with said something professionals about, let's just call it ADHD instead, even though it's really...
Yeah, one of the psychiatrists at one point, I think when he was around 9 or 10, said, you know, he might have a mood disorder, but, you know, that's really stigmatizing. So I'm just going to diagnose him with ADHD instead. And I thought to myself, in what medical world would we just say, you know, gosh, I think you might have diabetes, but, you know, that's kind of stigmatizing, so I think I'm going to diagnose you with hypothyroidism instead. You know, you have to use a silly example.
I know I'm laughing, but I have smoke coming out of my ears at the same time because it's such a frustrating situation. Well, take us into your book, The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. What are people going to find, Liza?
What I really wanted to do was to show parents, I wrote for two audiences. One are parents like me who feel isolated and alone, right, and feel like no one in the world understands their problems. And to show those parents, first, that they're not alone, but secondly, to navigate all of the systems that you have to go through as a parent of a child with a mental illness, because you essentially have to become a case manager for your child, and you have to interact with school districts. You sadly often have to interact with juvenile detention and the Department of Corrections, which is a horrifying, that's a whole other horrifying story. You know, you've got healthcare, you have insurance. Everywhere you go, there are barriers to care. In every way that you try to get help for your child, you will be turned away initially. So there, it goes through all of those various systems. And then also suggests things that we could do to make things better for children and families. And, you know, I really feel like our approach to mental illness, even almost 3 years after Newtown, is still so reactive, so crisis-based. And if we could just shift that mindset and be proactive and wellness-based, so many more children could thrive and grow up to be productive, happy, healthy adults. You know, my own son's case is an example where when he was finally diagnosed correctly and given the correct treatment, he's doing great. And I would want that for every family.
Oh, I know. I'm so glad you said that. I was about to ask, you know, speaking of thriving, I know your son's doing so well now. And, you know, earlier on, I bet that would have been hard to imagine when there's such a sense of isolation and hopelessness.
Yeah, when I wrote that essay, I'm Adam Lanza's mother, I never imagined that we would be where we are today, that my son would be back in a mainstream school, that he would be going bowling with his friends tomorrow. I mean, just all of these things that a normal teenager has, my son's been given that by the correct diagnosis and the correct treatment. It's almost miraculous for our family.
What do you think are some of the barriers in addition to getting that correct diagnosis, even if you have the means, right? I mean, it seems like there's just something going on, whether you have the means or not, you're still not getting the help you need, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a critical shortage of psychiatrists, especially child psychiatrists in this country. And when I say critical, I mean critical. The stigma against mental illness actually starts in medical school, where people choose not to go into psychiatry because it's considered to be a lesser kind of specialty. And so when we talk about lack of access to care, that's a real thing. Like, it's just very difficult to get care. Then we have things like parity. You might have heard the word parity, that, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, that made it so mental health would be treated the same as physical health. But what a lot of us moms are finding is that services we used to get are now being denied as not medically necessary. They love that phrase. The insurance company will come in and say, well, this is not medically necessary, so your child doesn't get the service anymore. And so parity does not exist. Again, we would never tell someone, you know, on dialysis that, well, that's not medically necessary, so you don't get that service anymore. And yet that's what's happening to families.
Well, Liza, you've got to come back. Check Liza out, www.lizalong.com, The Price of Silence, A Mom's Perspective on Mental Illness. Liza, it has been such a pleasure. I'm Lisa Davis. You've been listening to Naturally Savvy here on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.